a balance of ease and relaxation and also alertness. And you might take extra care to connect with the body. Perhaps sweeping the warm sunbeam of your awareness down through the body from the crown of the head and pausing in those places that the body might hold a measure of tension or tightness. Letting the warmth of your gaze, of your attention, invite those places to melt open. Maybe that space between the eyebrows. And softening the eyes. Even with the lids closed, sometimes there's still an efforting in the eyes that are so used to reaching out, grabbing hold of the world and pulling it in. And this is an opportunity for the eyes to rest. Letting there be a slight release in the jaw. An opening through the throat. And settling through the shoulders. That might allow the arms to grow heavier. Letting hands soften. Maybe there's a way of even letting the heart center widen, open, letting the belly expand and loosen with the next inhalation. Inviting that warm sunbeam of awareness to sweep down through hips and thighs, inviting a loosening, a lengthening. All the way down into the feet, letting even the toes relax. Maybe there's a playful wiggle of the toes that allows feet to land more lightly on the earth. And for this practice, you might let your awareness rest in a felt sense of the body as a whole. Or it might feel more skillful, more nourishing to gather your awareness to one point in the body, to an anchor, perhaps the breath. And wherever you're resting your attention in the body, see if it can be a wholehearted attention. It's a little bit like those of you who have had the acquaintance of a cat in your life, you might know that feeling when a cat sits in your lap and you sense they're really only briefly just visiting. And you also might know that feeling when a cat really settles in and your senses, they are here to stay. They get really comfortable. Let your awareness, your connection with the body or the breath, be more like that. Settling in to really connect. With this felt sense of breath or body. If the mind's been wandering, as it often does, can you come back to this deep connection with body and breath? It's a little bit like petting the cat. Coming back into the center of this moment. Maybe even feeling a little purr of delight in this connection. Life will continue to swirl around you. Sounds or sensations coming from the outside. Thoughts or feelings. Or sensations coming from the inside. And you don't have to change any of that. But you can keep coming back, just petting the moment. Savoring the sweetness. Of simply connecting with what's here. And where's the attention right now? Maybe with the sound of your neighbor mowing the lawn, or thoughts of the meeting later today. Writing a menu of what's for lunch. No need to criticize the mind for wandering. And the good news is, the moment hasn't gone anywhere. It's still right here. Like the cat curled up sleeping in your lap. So just coming home, petting the moment, feeling body and breath, sitting right here, resting. And allowing yourself a really gentle transition . It's sort of as simple as just, you know, opening your eyes and not launching the cat out of your lap. You can let the moment stay curled up in your lap as you open your eyes and shift gears into being in connection with this next moment, which is, you know, perhaps making contact with the screen, perhaps, you know, taking in words that are a little more cognitively engaging than meditation guidance. You know, in many ways, our practice is so simple. Life is complicated, and we often make it more complicated, but practice can be so simple. You know, it's not about fixing or changing or figuring out anything. It's actually resting into just being here, which feels so like such a relief, at least to me. You know, it's like, oh, there's really nothing to do, and we've lost this practice of being as humans. There's this emphasis on doing, and in many ways, you know, this sheltering in place, safer at home, for many of us has slowed things down to some degree, that we have an opportunity to relearn how to be or how to pet the cat. I've been thinking about that, even with my life being not entirely slow in a luxurious way. I'm still working and seeing clients and teaching. But even in that activity, there's still this quality of settledness or slowing down that I am continually invited back into. I lose track of it, but I'm invited back in. And my cat has actually been such a good teacher of that, because she often curls up in my lap. She wasn't here today, but she's spent a good chunk of the last week in my lap as I've been on retreat. She loves being on retreat. And she's such a good teacher to savor the moment. And, you know, I think about that a lot because she's an older cat. She's 17. And so I don't actually know how many more days, how many more months, maybe years, if we're lucky, that she'll be here to curl up in my lap. And so there's a preciousness, you know, to the moment. And there's a poem that speaks to this, and I thought I'd use it to just unpack a few minutes of, you know, being here and then how we get ourselves in trouble, you know, when we fight with being here. And sometimes, you know, there's good reasons to fight with being here. This is not like a disregarding that there's disappointment and struggle and pain or hurt. But we often magnify our difficulties when we fight with reality. And sometimes we taste these moments where, even just a moment of being here, there's an exhale, there's a release. So this is a poem entitled This Very Here by Rosemary Wetola Tromer, which many of you know is one of my favorite poets because I read a lot of her poems in here. This very here. And then came the day when I knew to stop asking to be anywhere else. When somehow I no longer believed any other garden was better than this one. When I wanted only these weeds and this field. There will come a day, I am sure, when I forget. But today, oh, the freedom of being utterly tethered to this very here, with no other dream, no plan for other plots, just a song on my lips that I sometimes know how to sing, and sometimes have to hush to hear how it goes. And these moments when we are tethered, utterly tethered to this very here, can be moments of such peace. For me, that's one of the greatest gifts of retreat, of practice. Sometimes retreat is just the half an hour in the morning when I sit on my cushion before I start my busy day. Sometimes it's the gift of longer, but one of the things I find on retreat is that the world simultaneously gets smaller and smaller and bigger at the same time. It's like I slow down and I walk less far. You know, it's amazing. Every once in a while, I've found this true even retreating at home, but you know, it was most dramatic at retreat centers. You know, I'd go on a hike that would take me an hour to walk when I was on retreat. And sometimes, like the first day I'd get to the retreat center, I'd walk and it would take me like 15 minutes to do this walk. It really wasn't very far, but to linger, to really feel each step, to savor, you know, just being here. So there's a walk I've been doing on my retreat that's not very long, but it takes a long time because I'll stop and I'll watch the bumblebee with the flowers or the flicker that has made a nest in a hole of a dead cottonwood or the prairie dogs, which you also know that I love because I talk about them a lot here. Is, you know, these moments and this thought of, wow, I actually don't miss anything. I don't miss getting in my car and driving to the mountains to have an experience of nature, because what's happening in my own backyard is actually quite magnificent. And so, you know, there's this way that when we can savor what's right here, it can be so restful. You know, and you know, part of the tangle is that we are human beings and we have preferences. And, you know, we don't always like what's on offer. You know, you know, I was thinking about eating on retreat, which is also one of the great delights, and one of the sadnesses about doing home retreat is nobody's cooking for me for three meals a day, which for me is one of the greatest gifts of going on retreat. But I've sort of, this is my second home retreat, and so I make a meal plan and I put it on the fridge and I do some cooking and I put things in the freezer. And so it's a little bit like somebody else is cooking for me for the week. Not quite, but it is, you know, I've cooked for me. But I had this moment where, you know, I looked at my little schedule and my menu and I thought, oh, it's not what I want. You know, it's like I'm trying to follow my schedule. And I was like, okay, tonight is like green salad and potato salad. And, you know, and I was like, but that's not what I want. And it's like a wanting just sort of gets me tangled up in being a little bit at war with the ease of the moment that's just unfolding. And I sort of giggled at myself and stuck with the plan, and you know, the potato salad and the green salad was delightful and nourishing. But it was so sweet to catch that moment of like, oh, perceiving that as not what I wanted, that wanting, that stickiness of the moment. And that's where we're going to go next week, is sort of this wanting and not wanting, and when we're saying yes or no to the moment. But today was really just about petting the moment. What's it like when we can actually just pet and savor the moment? And so that's what I'll offer to you if you would like to participate in the breakout rooms for a few minutes, maybe about 7 minutes, just to share with one another, you know, what's it like for you when you can pet the moment? If that analogy works for you, what's it like in the body? You know, what's it like in the mind when you have those moments of being utterly tethered to this very here? And, you know, if that doesn't fit for you, just sort of feel into, okay, what makes it, you know, what supports you and what gets in the way of being with this very here? And then I'll gather us back and we'll have a final poem and bit of inspiration for your week. And I think most of you are familiar with the breakout rooms, but I will set them up and you'll have an option of joining on your screen. And you can, you know, turn your camera on if that's comfortable for you, or leave it off and just join by voice. But enjoy each other connecting with the moment and connecting with one another. This theme of connection we've had the last few weeks continues. All right, breakout rooms are open. Let's see, Kathy, I'm going to try to, oh, you made it. Okay. Bye, Alex. Welcome back, Kathy. Well, welcome. You know, I wasn't sure what was happening. You and Sandra kept bouncing back into the waiting room. So I wasn't sure if you were getting kicked out or not. So there was once or twice that I hit the admit all button, and that might have taken you out. I don't know. So yeah, it was a new experience for me. So, and yours appeared to be the only room it was happening in, and I wasn't sure what it was about. So maybe it's a one time, but we'll see. Yeah. So anything that wants to be said before we have a final poem? Yeah, thanks, Marcia. Yes, I am. Okay, I might have to do that if you haven't had that experience. It's quite delightful. Yeah, and it is true, you know, sometimes that ease of petting the moment is so helpful, because often what we do is we pounce on the moment. Cats also do that, but we pounce. It's like, you know, especially when we've been distracted, there's this intensity to the coming back, or we pounce on ourselves. We judge ourselves for the distraction, or so that petting energy, I think, can be so helpful. Going back to the basics and doing it with ease. So I'll just end with a really short poem today by Naomi Shihab Nye, a really wonderful Palestinian poet, entitled Fresh. To move cleanly, needing to be nowhere else, wanting nothing from any store, to lift something you already had and set it down in a new place. Awakened eye, seeing freshly. What does that do to the old blood moving through its channels? So you might just play this week with petting the moment and with having this awakened eye, not needing to go anywhere else or have anything new. And next week we'll do some exploring of, you know, what happens when we don't pet the moment. You know, what happens when we're in contention with the moment, and how can we lovingly, skillfully work with that? So, such a delight to be with all of you. I really am appreciating this gift of being able to practice together And what a sense of connection and community I'm feeling with all of you as the weeks go by. It's just such a gift. And I know that's, what's held my practice all these years is community. And I'm just delighted that this is one more space of community in my life. So take such good care. Yes, be well.